I felt really like I really, really, really didn't want to be a mechanic of teeth. I wanted to be a physician of the mouth. So what did I do? I came out of dental school in 1983, and I went into a master's program in holistic health, the first one of its kind.
That was Dr. Jerry Curatola. This is Marnie Salop. Thanks for tuning into my podcast, Marnie on the Move. Each week, I will be inviting interesting, innovative movers and shakers to join me on the show and share their story. You will discover and hear from thought leaders, experts, influencers, and entrepreneurs from the worlds of wellness, sports, beauty, fitness, fashion, and more. Marnie on the Move will feature an eclectic mix of people I know, work with, and think are generally doing cool things. On each episode, I sync up with my guests about life, career, and training, and showcase their expertise and story. On today's episode, I sync up with global thought leader and pioneer, the paradigm-shifting biologic dentist, Dr. Jerry Curatola. Dr. Curatola is the best-selling author of The Mouth-Body Connection, co-creator of prebiotic toothpaste and oral care company, Revitin. He is the founder of Rejuvenation Dentistry in New York City and is opening a cutting-edge dental, medical, and wellness center in East Hampton this summer called Rejuvenation Health. Dr. Curatola shares his vision on the future of healthcare and dials us in to the next frontier of dentistry. We converse about the oral microbiome, why gums are the gateway to overall health, his bioregulatory approach to dentistry, the dangers of mercury and safe removal processes, and more. In addition to being a highly esteemed dentist, Dr. Jerry is a seriously funny and entertaining guy. Anyone that knows him would agree. And once you hear our conversation, you will be hooked. There were literally tears of laughter throughout this conversation. Not to mention, he is an incredibly talented singer and has performed on stage with his longtime client, Billy Joel. Get ready to laugh and learn. It's going to be a fun episode. Today's episode is fueled by SumPotion. I am such a huge fan of their super high quality tonic herbs, mushrooms, and superfoods. I started using these transformational foods and supplements around 2 years ago, and they have been serious game changers for my health, my energy levels, and even my sleep. Typically, I alternate between their Yin Power Potion and Ashwagandha for all things balance, Cordyceps if I'm feeling low energy and want to boost my workout, or Chaga when my immune system is feeling taxed. I simply add it to my morning coffee or smoothie, and I'm on the move. SumPotion offers a variety of rejuvenating, restorative, and healing organic supplements and transformational foods. Head over to their website, sumpotion.com, and see for yourself. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Marnie on the Move on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Android. And of course, you can go to our website at marnieonthemove.com. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter because we have some exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. Thank you so much for inviting me into your beautiful home.
Well,
and
thank you
having
for coming.
Me here today.
Thank
this
you.
Is so nice.
Yes, this is like the Connecticut of Manhattan. It's way Upper East Side.
It's very far.
We're on the East End. We're on the East End. No, we're on East End Avenue and the East River, and it is very peaceful. And you can sleep at night. You hear no noise.
Really?
Yes.
That's
in Manhattan,
so nice.
That's a treasure.
Yeah, because I can see the river from the window, and
yes.
I can see all the cars on the FDR. So
yeah, I know.
I can't hear them, though.
You can't hear them because we're on the other side of East End Avenue. If you were on the river side of East End Avenue, you get the cars and the smog.
Okay, not to switch the topic, but I really enjoyed reading your new book. So you're welcome. Can you tell me a little bit about the mouth-body connection, gum health, and the oral microbiome?
Yeah, you know, when I went to dental school, it was really interesting. We did the exact same curriculum for the first 2 years as the medical school. And I was like, gee, NYU could save a lot of money if they had the same people teach the courses to both the medical students and the dental students. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got into this very subspecialized world of healthcare mm-hmm. where, you know, even in dentistry, you know, you have a pedodontist, an endodontist, a periodontist, an orthodontist, and the idea of holistic care really became very much lost mm-hmm. in the scope of how a patient is taken care of. And we've turned the corner. I really think we've turned the corner because our healthcare system is broken. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to see a specialist, you got to get a primary care practitioner to approve it. So now we have functional medicine doctors, and we'll talk about healthcare and all that, but people are starting to demand holistic care. But when I was in dental school for the first 2 years, it was, you know, I was like, I don't want to be like, I only take care of above the neck. You know, the head bone's connected to the neck bone's connected to the shoulder bone. Or I don't know the whole song. But,
no, I definitely
but
don't know the song.
The reality is that what goes on in your mouth has very profound effects for what goes on in the body. Case in point, if you have gum disease, you have a 10 times greater chance of a heart attack. You have a 7 times greater chance of adult onset diabetes. You have a 67% higher incidence of pancreatic cancer if you're a man. And everything from Alzheimer's disease to colorectal cancer has links to what goes on in the mouth. That's the crazy thing. So I was out there going, well, you know, people go to the dentist all the time. And the dentist is like, you know, it's like you need 2 fillings and a crown and a Rigano,
right.
You got gum disease. Blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you know, it's like going through the drive through at Burger King, you know,
right.
Give me a fries, Big Mac. And I really hated the idea of dentists being mechanics of teeth.
Right.
And they really need to recognize the very important role they have on the front line of wellness. Mm-hmm. And that going to your dentist is not just about saving your teeth. It really is about saving your life.
That is really, really interesting.
So the book kind of emanated from that. The book was like, okay, let's talk about the mouth as a mirror for mm-hmm. what goes on in the whole body. Mm-hmm. Everything from leukemia, diabetes, you know, HIV, anything has manifestations in the mouth. Like
so you can tell. Yeah. You can tell when you look at someone's gums
Definitely.
What else is going on in their body.
Absolutely. I mean, 20 years ago, I was telling, I taught at NYU, and I was like, you guys have to look for signs. I mean, diabetes, there are 6 to 7 million Americans walking around with diabetes, don't even know it, but they see their dentist on a regular basis. So dentists should be screening mm-hmm. for signs of major systemic disease and referring patients accordingly. And I realized that I have to get this out there, you know, like the mouth as a mirror for what's mm-hmm. going on in the body mm-hmm. and also a gateway.
Right, because you say there's a bilateral relationship between the two.
Exactly.
So are there certain things that you see on someone's gums that are like a red flag that you might say to them like, okay, you know, have you thought about getting checked for diabetes or what else is going on in your body?
Lymphoma, leukemia have signs in the mouth. You know, I mean, oral cancer is the third largest cancer. And I have in my office, basically it's a $7,000 pen light. Uh-huh. I feel like I buy things for the Pentagon, you know, uh-huh. like it's a $7,000 pen light. But it fluoresces cells that are behaving abnormally in the mouth, mm-hmm. which gives it's an early sign of oral cancer. Mm-hmm. And so oral cancer is the third largest cancer. One patient dies every hour, every day from oral cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
wow.
You know, you had like Michael Douglas with oral cancer and you had da-da-da-da. And there are some well-known cases of oral cancer. But I really think dentists need to do a better job of early detection, not just doing an oral cancer exam with visually and palpating and yada, yada. There are devices that can fluoresce cells that can save a patient's life. So if oral cancer is diagnosed by the naked eye, mm-hmm. patients have less than a 50% chance of surviving that.
Wow.
But
so you can catch it early on.
Early on, over 90% survival from oral cancer.
Wow.
So those are the kinds of things that are very important. And in the Mouth Body Connection book, I wrote it for the guy who, it's really written for the layperson. That's why it's mm-hmm. easy to read. It's not techie or anything. But it is, I wrote it for the guy, like I like to say, who is on, you know, to get him to pull off the drive-through at Burger King, you know, and just make some simple choices that can reduce inflammation in the body. So gum disease is, which is epidemic, by the way, over 80% of the American adult public has gum disease. Gum disease is also the body's number one source of chronic low-grade inflammation. So I really was compelled by a couple of different things. First, the fact that people can make simple choices that can radically change their health.
Right.
You know?
Like in your book, you talk about that you have a 28-day program and you also have recipes that can help people change their gum health, which is amazing.
Yeah, the idea that you mean what I'm making is going to change what's going on in my mouth? Like, well, how does that work?
Like how you're eating. And
it gets into stuff that, you know, is leading edge. And some of it is very sophisticated information that I kind of break down into simple terms.
Right. Like it's a great book. It's really easy to read. And so, the oral microbiome. Tell me about the oral microbiome. Because that's really buzzy.
Yeah, it's buzzy.
I love it. That's my favorite
word. Hey, how's
your
microbiome doing, Marty?
We talk about the gut microbiome, and we talk about
everybody knows
the skin
gut.
But what about the oral microbiome?
Yeah, the oral microbiome is really heavy duty because the oral microbiome protects you from deadly viruses and bacteria in the world outside of the mouth.
Right.
So the mouth communicates to the outside world, but it also is a very close cousin to the gut. So what that means is that the oral microbiome does some amazing things. And what we've discovered in the last 10 years has radically changed our understanding of health and disease. So, for example, the bacteria in your mouth are 6 to 10 billion in number. We've identified, I think, like 700 to 800 species now. And those bacteria do amazing things. It's actually an intelligent transport membrane, and it transports minerals from your saliva, like calcium and phosphorus, to remineralize your teeth. So you don't need a toxic chemical known as fluoride, which, by the way, we could talk about. But we thought it was a really good idea because it's very reactive. It's the most highly reactive element that's non-radioactive in the periodic table.
Okay.
So what that means about being reactive is that when you introduce it in the mouth, it changes the consistency of teeth and bones from hydroxyapatite, which has a certain amount of flexibility, to fluorapatite, which is very hard, like glass. You can't scratch it, but if you drop it on the floor, it breaks. So it has low tensile strength.
Okay.
So the mineral that fluorapatite, what fluoridated teeth and bones are made of, is very hard but very brittle. So we didn't really do enough research in, is this really good in the long term for making stronger teeth and bones?
Right.
Like they did hip fracture rate studies in the 1980s, and they thought, well, you know, teeth are stronger because of fluoride, so bones must be stronger. So they studied hip fracture rates in the 1980s.
Okay.
And they found that hip fracture rates went up exponentially in line with fluoridation. So people break, like my mother fell on the carpeted steps in our house, and she was in her 70s, having been exposed to fluoride for a couple of decades. So she had what would be
like
called
just using
skeletal fluorosis.
Teeth?
She trips on the steps. She doesn't get a bruise on her hip. She gets a broken hip, you know?
Right.
So the amount of orthopedic operations that are going on.
And this is just from using fluoride
skeletal
in
fluorosis,
your toothpaste.
Yeah, because fluoride, which we thought was going to decrease decay, we actually have an epidemic of decay right now.
Okay.
So, and we have an epidemic of teeth that are damaged by fluoride called fluorosis.
Okay.
Fluorosis, which we like, you know, in the dental profession, we like to say, oh, it's a cosmetic defect. No, it's hypocalcified enamel, making teeth more prone to decay, the very thing they were taking a toxic chemical to prevent them from. So I've become very, very vocal about it's time to look at this fluoride experiment of the last 50, 60 years and be honest and proactive about, you know, ending this process. Because 41% of children, adolescent children in America, have teeth damaged by fluoride now from too much fluoride, fluorosis.
I think this is all really interesting, what you're talking about with fluoride. I'm just wondering, is this kind of epidemic that's going on as it relates to fluoride something that inspired you to create your own toothpaste, Revitin?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
In the mid-80s, actually the late 80s, mm-hmm. a major toothpaste maker, mm-hmm. Crest.
I was going to say, are they going to be nameless? Am I going to edit that
no,
out?
No, this is a podcast, so no, this is like we can do whatever we want.
All right.
Are they going to remain nameless?
So, by the way, I really love the toothpaste. And I actually, my teeth have never felt so clean.
Tell you why. Because there's research and science and clinical research studies mm-hmm. and a tremendous amount of research and development went into making that. And I woke up in the late 1980s and a voice inside my head said, you've got to change what people are sticking in their mouth and brushing with.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds weird, but I can tell you that I remember, you know, I wake up in the morning and I mm-hmm. open my eyes and it was like already, you know, I was like, toothpaste was invented by soap makers 100 years ago.
Right.
And I went on Martha Stewart's show. You mm-hmm. know, and she knew about that. I was the first dentist on her, in her kitchen. Mm-hmm. We actually moved a dental chair on the set in her kitchen.
Oh, really?
It's really, it was,
I
it was great.
I loved her show. I love
yeah,
Martha
no, she's
Stewart.
Great.
I really
and,
like her
And she
a lot.
Loves dentists. You know, mm-hmm. her brother's a dentist, but her father died of dental disease. Yeah. It was oral cancer. I think her father died okay. of oral cancer or oral disease. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was very touched by that. She's like, I think dentistry is really important. I think oral health yeah. is really, really important. So she said, I know you're working on a toothpaste. Mm-hmm. This is 2008. I was already working on it. And I said, yeah, you know, Martha, basically, you know, toothpaste was invented by soap makers 100 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, my mother said, if I'd say something bad, she'd stick soap in my mouth. Right. But I was brushing with it.
Right. Know?
So,
that's so funny.
So basically, toothpaste was flavored detergent.
I don't even, where did that even come from, that saying? Know, well, do you, that, know? You know? Like, or, I mean, I've heard that, you know, too. Well, I eat a lot of soap.
The major, right? They made yeah. soap for your hands and your clothes. And
for your mouth.
They had an idea. Well, clean your mouth. Let's brush with detergent. And
wow.
then in the early 60s, Crest took the lead, you know, it mm-hmm. was like they put fluoride, sodium mm-hmm. fluoride in toothpaste. And the idea was, well, fluoride makes your teeth hard and strong and yada, yada. And then in the 70s, they started, you got to kill germs in the mouth, kill plaque. So, you know, what I said to Martha, I said, Martha, and then, you know, we got an idea to put pesticides in toothpaste, like the number one brand of toothpaste in America right now has a chemical called triclosan copolymer. Mm-hmm. Triclosan is a non-biodegradable pesticide.
And we're brushing our teeth with it.
We're brushing our teeth with it. It's been banned, by the way. The FDA banned it in everything but toothpaste. So the insanity of toothpaste and what's going on is, and then even natural toothpaste.
It's not really natural.
No, natural toothpaste is based on a health fad.
Okay.
Like oil pulling.
Okay.
Like oil pulling is a detergent action. There is nothing magical. Coconut oil is a wonderful nutritional. But by the way, the ancient Ayurvedic practice of oil pulling was sesame oil and other oils. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to swish it between your teeth. And what that does is it strips plaque from your teeth. Plaque is basically an unhealthy expression of a natural film called the oral microbiome.
Got it.
Which, by the way, keeps you alive. It aids in digestion.
Right.
It protects you.
Right. Well,
it
there's a whole.
It helps to mineralize your teeth.
Yeah.
And I didn't say it also transports oxygen to your gums. So this film in the mouth is like a coral reef protecting an island. And we've been trying to nuke it
right.
with products like, you know, Listerine, kill germs on contact, Colgate Total. Kill germs 24 hours a day. Blah, blah, blah.
But you
kill,
want to keep the
kill,
balance
kill,
of
kill.
The germs in your mouth so
yeah.
that it
so
helps protect your gums.
It's funny,
and your
back
teeth.
Then I said to Martha Stewart, I said, Martha, it's time for doctors to get out of the pesticide business.
Yeah.
And what I'm promoting and what I'm working on developing could be thought of like organic gardening for the mouth.
Right.
And she was like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's organic gardening for this. So the reason why Revitin works.
Yeah.
Should I spell it? R-E-V-I-T-I-N.
Mitzi warned me about this podcast. This isn't right because you gave me wine and I can't drink.
Yes. Actually, you finished the bottle of wine.
What? We did not. You finished the bottle of wine.
Okay.
I'm going to have an outtakes
reel. Full disclosure, Dr. Jerry finished the bottle of wine.
I want to just seriously, like, dialing back to the oral microbiome. You strike me as somebody who's very unique in this industry. When did this start for you?
You want to know the
industry?
Truth?
Yeah. Like, have you always been this way? Like, as a kid?
Yeah.
Where did
I was always out of the box.
Okay.
I always felt weird.
You are weird, so fact check.
I'm part entertainer, part scientist, part researcher.
We're going to have a part question entertainer. About entertaining.
I think part of it is I'm a middle child.
Mm-hmm.
I had an older brother and a younger sister, so mm-hmm. I was the second son kind of thing. I don't want to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also left-handed, you know?
Okay.
So I was left. I was right brain, but I was also right-handed.
Uh-huh.
So I was like left-right. And it's a very like Da Vinci-esque kind of thing. Not to think that I'm not Leonardo da Vinci.
I don't know.
I like to think I am.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's a left brain, right brain thing. From when I was a little boy, I always knew there was like more to what I see around me.
Right, like you don't just take things at surface value.
Totally not. And as a dentist, you know, I wanted to be a dentist from 6 years old.
Really?
Yeah. I actually made a business card. Oh, it's in my book. It's on the inside cover of the book.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Jerry Curatola, first business card, age 6. They left that out, but they have the business card in there. The thing, when I finally got to dental school and I came out of dental school, I was like, well, I felt really competent in diagnosing and treating disease in the mouth, you mm-hmm. know, kind of thing. But it was more, dental school kind of prepares you. The last 2 years is all about the technical skills.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 years is like medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The second 2 years is technical skills.
Okay.
And I felt really like I really, really, really didn't want to be a mechanic of teeth.
Right.
I wanted to be a physician of the mouth.
Right.
So what did I do? I came out of dental school in 1983, and I went into a master's program in holistic health. That's the first one of its kind.
Forward.
Yeah, that
thinking
was way
of
out.
You. Yeah.
My wife was like, you know, we were just married 2 weeks after dental school. I got married. She, you know, and we're celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary.
35th anniversary this past week. I know. That's
you know, my
exciting.
Brother said to me, you know, I've been married longer than you. I'm like, yeah, but you've had three wives. I'm
uh-huh.
one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't count. It's not cumulative.
No.
You know? But yeah, now my wife is my soulmate, and I feel very blessed to have that. And it's really. And I wanted to give her a Purple Heart for putting up with me for 35 years. But true story is that I came out of dental school and she's like, you're in so much debt from dental school. How could you think about going into a master's program in holistic health, which in 1983 was like voodoo?
Yeah. I mean, you were like on the fringe, woo-woo out there.
There was an amazing, gifted doctor who started this program. He was a chiropractor by background, Dr. Alan Pressman.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget him. He just passed away last year. Wonderful, wonderful man. And he had the foresight to kind of put it all together in this program. And there were people like Gary Null, who was on the faculty. He's a brilliant nutritional guy, very eccentric, but mm-hmm. but really bright. And I learned about mercury. Mercury. Oof. The big dirty secret in dentistry. Mercury. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people don't realize the silver fillings
mm-hmm.
are 52% mercury.
And you pioneered a groundbreaking technique for mercury removal.
Ah, well, I have been perfecting the most effective way to remove mercury.
Okay.
The reason that is because after 15 years of doing dentistry,
mm-hmm.
I walked into a room and I like one day and I couldn't remember why I walked in the room. And I was like, oh, I'm just tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then people would give me a telephone number and I could only remember 3 of the 7 numbers. So I go 3, 2, 4, 7, 5, 5, 5. And I'd be like 3, 2, 4, 5, 7. You know, it was like, I was like, oh, wow. I must be really tired.
Mm-hmm.
Then I woke up not too long after that and I woke up and my left hand, which I used to do dentistry, my left hand was I had a tremor.
And interesting.
And I was like, this is really strange. This could be the end of my career.
Right.
You know, dentist with shaky hands? No.
Yeah.
So I went to, I really thought, oh my God, I have a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. And then I
would think
went to
thing.
A friend of mine who, right, I'm like, this is it. It was the beginning of Parkinsonism or MS, which is interesting because those are degenerative, neurological degenerative diseases, which have been linked to mercury toxicity and mercury poisoning and Alzheimer's and mm-hmm. all that. The symptoms of Alzheimer's disease and the symptoms of mercury toxicity are exactly the same.
So when you talk about mercury toxicity, is that the same mercury that you could get from eating certain kinds of fish?
Yeah. So in dentistry, there's methylmercury.
Right.
You know, and then there's also something called ethylmercury, and there's different types of mercury. Mm-hmm. But mercury is the most neurotoxic element on Earth. On Earth. So I had this experience, mm-hmm. and I went to a functional medicine doctor who tested me. And she's like, Jerry, you know, it sounds like mercury. And I'm like, I have not put a mercury filling in anybody's head since I came out of dental school. I was so proud of that. Because mm-hmm. I would talk to my patients and I'd say, look, you know, amalgam fillings weaken teeth. They're cheap. They're easy to put in. A monkey could put them in with their thumb mm-hmm. and they'll stay in your mouth forever. But they weaken teeth. Teeth break, blah, blah, blah. So I would always talk about the physical properties of some of the newer ceramics and some of the newer restorative materials, mm-hmm. which were better performing, much more aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And I said, and it doesn't have any mercury because, you know, silver fillings have mercury. Mm-hmm. By the way, any dentist who says silver filling today is lying to the patient.
Yeah.
It's 26% silver. It's 52% mercury. So it's silver colored.
Right.
But you really should call it, if you're going to call it anything, call it a mercury filling.
Yeah.
And see how many people want them. So
that's really interesting. And I can't believe people are still doing that today.
46% of dentists are still putting in mercury fillings.
And is it dangerous for them to put them in as well?
The occupational hazards for dentists working around mercury mm-hmm. is very high. The amount of degenerative diseases that dentists experience is very high. You know, they used to call it Mad Hatter disease. You know, the Mad Hatter, Alice mm-hmm. in Wonderland?
Yes.
Well, the Mad Hatters, they call them Mad Hatters because they used to work with mercury in the brims of top hats.
Oh.
And so they're working with mercury and they became crazy. By the way, dentists had the highest rate of suicide when I came out of dental school. They're the second highest now. But they were the highest rate of suicide. The amounts of depression and suicide in dentistry is ridiculous.
And you think that's related to heavy toxicity?
I think the amount of depression. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a stressful profession, but mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of stressful professions out there. But I think the kinds of toxicities that dentists are exposed to puts them at very high risk. So, you know, I just had a dentist come to me last week mm-hmm. who is in his late 60s and has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He has no short-term memory at all. And he is a wonderful man. And, you know, he had been doing unsafe mercury removal, which, you know, I want to speak about a minute because, and by the way, just to finish the story.
Sorry.
To finish the story about my tremor, I don't want people to think I still have a tremor.
No.
Marty, look at my hand. It's perfectly.
No, it's perfectly fine. So.
The reality is that I went through 2 years of a detox, of a chelation, of a detox, which, by the way, getting mercury out of the body has to be done very carefully because you can actually get sicker.
Really?
Because when you crank mercury out of the cells, it actually can be hazardous and get recirculated again. So my good friend, Dr. Dan Papa, who has a very big podcast, Dan is amazing in mercury removal.
Uh-huh.
As a functional medicine doctor, he's terrific at coaching and advising people the proper way to do it, because getting mercury out of your body is like peeling layers of an onion.
Okay.
So it has to be done carefully and gently. But anyway, getting back to...
Can see a functional medicine doctor to do that? I mean, regular...
Yeah, but the old way of doing it where we used to put people on IV drips and da-da-da-da-da-da-da is actually, it's like putting a match out with a fire hose. You know, it's just too harsh. Yeah. Detoxing from mercury is a process that needs to be done gently, but continuously.
Interesting.
So the idea of removing mercury from the mouth, for anyone who's listening, that has dental amalgam, mercury fillings, silver colored fillings, that is something that's, in my opinion, removing mercury safely is the most important thing you need to do to protect your health in terms of heavy metal toxicity.
Right.
Because dentists, you know, I went on the Dr. Oz show in 2012, 13, something around there. And Oz did a show on toxic fillings. And he showed that what I was taught in dental school about how the mercury is magically locked into the filling after you put it in the tooth is just a complete lie, because it off-gasses. So it can, and now they say, well, yeah, it off-gasses, but it's not enough to hurt you. Well, most of us have the ability to chelate heavy metals out of the body.
Right.
However, there's a certain percentage of the population that has a genetic deficiency that prevents them from being able to eliminate heavy metals. It's a deficiency in the APO4 gene. And that is, these are people that get sick because they can't get the heavy. And even people that can chelate, it's still a toxic burden. So any heavy metal is a toxic burden.
What is the test you can get to find out if you have mercury poisoning?
There's a 6-hour provocative urinalysis. Okay. It's done as a certain test. The least accurate test is a blood test.
Okay.
Because mercury doesn't stay circulating in your blood. It goes right into the cells. And by the way, it passes the blood-brain barrier. So where does a lot of mercury end up? An affinity is in past the blood-brain barrier. So getting it out is a gentle process. And, you know, you have the liver and other places as well. And all
where
these
it stayed. Yeah.
So getting it out is a process. Yes, there are tests, by the way, hair analysis. There's something called a provocative urinalysis. That's becoming controversial because some people who provocate the elimination of mercury, some of them end up getting sick just from provoking the elimination because they have such high amounts that it causes it to come out and recirculate. So there are some functional medicine doctors that are pulling away from that test, but that test will tell you very quickly what your mercury load is. And by the way, mercury and lead, it's very interesting. Mercury and lead go hand in hand, you know, along with arsenic. You wouldn't believe the heavy metals we can have in our bodies.
That our bodies can sustain in our, or we really shouldn't have them.
Well, no, we shouldn't have
we
them.
We should be getting rid of them.
But the amount of high amounts of it and from where it's coming from is absurd. So, for example, a lot of the water is fluoridated.
I was just going to ask about the water.
There you go. So why did Flint, Michigan have high lead, right?
Right.
Lead. There's lead in the water. Put lead in the water. No. What it is Flint, Michigan has a lot of old municipal water pipes.
Right.
And they were lead lined. A lot of the additives in water, like fluoride, is actually hydrofluorosilicic acid. And that acid leaches lead out of the water pipes. So these are the kinds of toxicities that are going on that people should be aware of and should start to protect themselves from.
That's really interesting. You have a practice here in New York City called Rejuvenation Dentistry. So do you do the mercury removal process there?
Yeah, and I want to talk about the mercury removal process. We call it the SMART protocol. So I was the first SMART certified dentist in New York City. That's what they told me. SMART means Safe Mercury Amalgam Removal Technique.
Okay.
And an organization I belong to, the IAOMT, actually created that protocol.
Okay.
So I'd like to say I'm a genius who did that. Well, I've added a number of nutritional support. So I have certain chelators and things that I use in my office that I've experimented and used that I think are very effective to remove mercury from the mouth. And actually, in the removal of mercury from the mouth, keeps it from going systemically in the body. And so it'll chelate in urine and in the digestive tract. So Safe Mercury Amalgam Removal Technique involves a whole protocol of steps to protect the patient and protect my dental assistant,
I was going to ask,
myself, and the entire office. So all the air in the room of my treatment room is ionized. We have these high-speed evacuators, these high-suction devices. We put a rubber dam on the patient, oxygen on the patient's nose. We have these ventilator masks that screen for heavy mercury. So when we're breathing in the air, we actually have a filter that will capture mercury vapor. Because the minute a dentist sticks a drill into an old mercury filling, it makes, it's been shown and tested and shown in actually with a miner's light. There's a video online called The Smoking Tooth. And it looks like the tooth is smoking. It's actually mercury off-gassing an extracted tooth with a mercury filling just in the ambient air. Mercury off-gassing. So when we stick a drill in the tooth, it makes a cloud of mercury vapor, which dentists breathe in, hygienists, everybody breathes in. So when I went on Dr. Oz to talk about toxic fillings, I actually demonstrated a safe mercury amalgam removal technique, and they cut that out. Dr. Oz sent a crew my office for like 4 hours to film this. I tried to get the footage. They didn't. But you could go online and just type SMART amalgam removal, you know, or mercury removal, and you'll see it.
Okay.
So, yeah. And I'll the IAOMT, IAOMT.org, has videos and things too.
Okay. What other kind of dentistry do you practice at Rejuvenation Dentistry?
Well, we do all kinds of dentistry. So, Rejuvenation Dentistry, let's talk about how I came up with that. You know, I do a lot of artistic stuff. So, I've done lots of, you know, celebrity smile makeovers
so you do some
and all that.
Cosmetic dentistry or?
Yeah,
a lot
I love cosmetic dentistry. Okay. So, when I was in college, I was a neuroscience major and an art minor. Talk about two sides of the brain. And I loved it. I loved neuroscience because it was biology and psychology. And then I was like sculpting.
Right.
So it was like, it was always in there. And I love cosmetic dentistry because I used to say, you know, I never have patients kiss me goodbye when if I did, you know, gum surgery, you know, but like when I make, give them a beautiful smile, it changes their self-image. It changes their life.
Yes.
And they hug and you kiss you.
They're so happy.
So happy. I love cosmetic dentistry and I always have, but there are a lot of materials in cosmetic dentistry that are not biocompatible.
Right.
Like a lot of the composites we use or we used to use or I used to use, I didn't realize they're bis-GMA resins. So they're loaded with bisphenols. So now we use BPA-free composite. I use amazing materials. I use a material from Germany called Admira Fusion. And it is the first all-ceramic composite that has no BPAs and no harmful chemicals.
Wow.
So you could do beautiful cosmetic dentistry, but have biocompatible materials. So the things we do besides cosmetic dentistry and restorative dentistry is we do non-surgical laser periodontics. I love the use of lasers in dentistry because there is a laser called the BioLase, WaterLase 2.0. It is a erbium chromium YAG laser. That's a very fancy term. Erbium chromium YAG refers to the wavelength of light.
Okay.
That wavelength of light, when you use it in the mouth, actually has regenerative properties. So it stimulates bone to grow back because it actually, I'm going to use a very technical term, it causes the bone cells to divide and grow. So it actually causes, the way cells divide, it starts in the mitochondria and then the cell divides and then it grows back.
Right.
So the idea of being able to regenerate, that's the future of medicine, by the way, regenerative medicine. So to be able to regenerate gums and bone, that's really cool.
With a laser.
With a laser.
Because aren't there other...
I'd like to say the laser, Mini-Me. Please stop humping the laser.
This is so hard to keep a straight face. Sorry,
so,
I'm dying.
You have to have fun.
Just because I like hit my head on the table and you started like mentioning chemicals and I was like, what happened? Like you saw like.
It's like, where's Marnie on the move there? Marnie's not moving.
No, but is there another technique that surgeons use? That
just going to talk about PRF.
Plasma replacement.
Right. Plasma rich fibrin.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's different.
That's the magic goo that's in your blood that's loaded with stem cells. And it's loaded with stem cells and growth factors. So we use it all over the mouth. They even use it in your skin. It stimulates the production of collagen.
Right.
So we never do any surgery in our office without trying to use PRF.
Okay.
Because PRF, like in a tooth extraction should never be done, in my opinion, without PRF and use of a laser.
Yep.
So we actually take a tooth out with the laser. It's really cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's really cool. It actually, and the laser is just light. So you're not cutting. It's That's really, really cool. Very cool. And PRF is another thing that very regenerative because of the stem cells. And so patients who get PRF treatment after dental surgery, no swelling, no pain, or minimal swelling, minimal pain.
Right.
But most people, the next day, they're back to work and they're fine.
That's great.
Especially with the laser.
That's really great. And then is that along the lines of what you're talking about when you talk about bioregulatory medicine?
Actually, it is. Yeah. Let's talk about that because you hear all these terms. You know, it used to be holistic health, you know, holistic health. Like the program I did was holistic health, which was like, what, you know. And I did that program and I never called myself a holistic health practitioner.
But now you call yourself biologic bioregulatory dentist.
Yes. Now, right. I want to explain this to everyone because it's important because people hear these terms and they're like, what?
Right.
And it keeps evolving. So you have, you know, you have holistic medicine, you had integrative medicine, alternative medicine, functional medicine, and then you hear biologic medicine and now bioregulatory medicine. Mm-hmm. So what the heck is this?
Yeah.
So biologic and bioregulatory are terms that could be considered holistic. But they originated in Europe, and it referred to procedures and treatments that respect our body's self-healing and self-regulatory mechanisms. Bioregulatory is a philosophy of care. So when you talk about bioregulatory dentistry and bioregulatory medicine, what you're really talking about is a philosophy of practice. It's not a specialty unto itself.
Right.
It's a philosophy of practice that overlays, whether you're practicing medicine or dentistry, it overlays that with a respect for the body's self-healing and self-regulatory mechanisms. It supports the body's self-healing and self-regulatory mechanisms.
Right.
It uses and seeks out the most biologic and biocompatible materials that could be used.
That is in line with talking about the microbiome or in line with talking about Ayurvedic healing.
Yes. So one thing, because you brought up the microbiome a few times in this podcast, I just want to say three things about the microbiome.
Yeah.
Okay. These are the three things that have to do with the microbiome that everyone can get very easily.
Right.
The first is the Human Microbiome Project, which was launched in 2002, and which launched, so by the way, the term microbiome was also invented in 2002.
Okay.
It didn't exist before then. We came up with that. It was brought up, it was actually coined by the microbiologist Josh Lederberg, who I think got a Nobel Prize. And we used to call it biofilm. The bacterial communities were called biofilms.
Okay.
And he said, let's not call them biofilms. Let's call them the microbiome. So the five top microbiomes are gut, skin, mouth, respiratory, genitourinary.
Yeah.
The microbiome. So here are the top three things. Ready? Drum roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, we are made of bacteria. What? We're made of bacteria.
Right.
So the number of actual bacteria to our own human cells is 10 to 1. The genetic information of bacteria to our own human cells, 100 to 1.
Right.
How about our own human cells? Well, there's a big theory that, you know, the earth was covered with microbial slime 3 or 4 billion years ago. Now, the mitochondria of our cells is the same size and shape as a bacterium. So there's a theory that we're made of bacteria. So you know what I did last summer? I went into the verse in Torah, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
And you looked it up?
I looked it up and I wanted to know what the real ancient Hebrew translation was of the word dust, because it was, the verse is commonly translated to be, and the Lord thy God took of the dust of the earth and breathed his spirit into it and made man. And we came mind, body, spirit, right?
Right.
Wrong. It's not dust. The word translates to slime. The Lord God took the slime, which was all microbes.
Amazing.
So we're made of microbes. That's a long answer to the first thing I wanted people to know.
Yeah.
We're made of bacteria people.
Yeah.
So what's the second thing? The bacteria run us. We don't run them.
Right.
So the whole idea of, oh, let's kill the bad bugs rather than keep the good bugs.
Right.
Kill the bad bugs. Good guys, bad guys, da, da, da. No, bacteria are bacteria. They behave good. We call those probiotic.
Right.
Or they behave bad. We call those pathogens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Depending on their terrain.
Okay.
So naturopaths for hundreds of years have said it's not about the seed, the bacterium. It's about the soil.
Okay.
What the terrain is like.
Mm-hmm.
So you want a healthy terrain. So the bacteria run us. We don't run them. Best thing we can do to live to 120 years, which I think we're programmed to do, is if we get the hell out of the way of the bacteria's ability, which we're really a composite of species here, okay?
Right.
We're walking bacteria containers, basically.
Right.
If we understand these unique, the unique relationship between man and microbe, and we respect these microbes, we are programmed to live to 120. But when we mess up our oral microbiome, when we mess up our gut microbiome, our skin microbiome, our respiratory microbiome, our genital urinary microbiome, and others, we really compromise our health and we compromise our immune system. Remember, even the neurotransmitters for our brain are made from bacteria in our gut.
And so there's a lot of stories and articles and news about the microbiome now. That how long do you think it will take people to really catch on to this?
Well, I mean, I want to wear a sandwich sign that says, make peace with your microbes.
Yeah, I mean, you should make a t-shirt and then it should say,
make peace with your microbes.
Rejuvenation dentistry.
And that's how you'll rejuvenate. Yeah. You know what's amazing is that the reason why Revitin, so just a little bit
like
about Revitin.
About your toothpaste.
No, Revitin, I did 20 years of research, okay?
Yeah.
And I did a lot of clinical research.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it kills me because like there's like charcoal toothpaste. Charcoal is a very powerful binder. It strips everything out of the mouth. Oil pulling strips everything. So people with grunge mouth who are not using Revitin, I'll say, you know, do oil pulling for, you know, 4 or 5 days. It'll clean up your mouth a little bit. But if you keep doing it, you're going to end up with a desert, which is going to make your teeth sensitive. You're going to, your enamel is going to start to chip. Your gums are going to be sensitive. Da, 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 because that's what happens when you strip the microbiome. People on chemotherapy.
I was gonna say, why would someone do that?
Smokers, people on chemotherapy and radiation, they, you know, they unfortunately have that experience. So charcoal, clay, oil pulling, all this stuff, they're still in the mentality that you got to strip and sterilize the mouth.
Right.
No, that's not healthy. And chemicals like xylitol, which is, ugh, it's gotten so popular.
Right.
And because of these BS studies that came out of Scandinavia back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, because it showed that xylitol, which is a chemical, by the way.
Yes.
Whether it's made from xylan bark or GMO corn cobs, which 80% is made from, the xylan goes through a chemical process of hydrogenation using a heavy metal as the catalyst. And it's hydrogenated, you know, the way we make margarine.
So even though it's from a tree.
It's from a tree.
But it's
but
a chemical.
It's a chemical. As a matter of fact, it's called a high-value chemical in organic chemistry textbooks.
Interesting.
But xylitol, which is the, you know, the new methadone of the sugar industry.
Okay.
You know, sugar is heroin.
Yeah.
So the new methadone is xylitol. It's in every natural toothpaste because they think it's good for you. It's also a good preservative because it kills everything. So they use it in mouthwash and stuff like that. And I got, you know, I mean, there are these diehard natural toothpaste makers that use a ton of xylitol. And I've been on podcasts talking to them and I really kind of blow them away because they're like, no, no, it's good for you. They said, you know, there's PubMed studies that show it inhibits strep mutans. And I'm like, strep mutans lives in your mouth. The strep mutans bacteria that has been linked to tooth decay. It causes tooth decay when it's out of balance.
So it's all about keeping the balance.
You can't kill or inhibit all the strep mutans in your mouth.
Well, I mean, that kind of makes me think about antibiotics. And I don't know. You know, I've been, you know, using plants as medicine and living that philosophy for quite a few years, and I haven't taken an antibiotic in probably like 6 or 7 years, which is great. But I know I took a lot of them when I was a kid, so I don't know how my immune system is still surviving. But I mean, you know, nobody knew back then. And now what we know is amazing.
No, I mean, the overuse of antibiotics has created MRSA, which closes down a high school, closes down the gymnasium and everything because of a MRSA outbreak. MRSA is methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. Mm-hmm. It is a man-made superbug. So, true story, Colgate launched their Colgate Total toothpaste thing way back when they did it. They spent $100 million on the launch budget. It was Crane's New York business. It was the largest launch budget of any consumer product at the time. Mm-hmm. And they were going to launch it as the first antibiotic toothpaste.
That's so crazy.
This is a true story. I got this from inside Colgate people. They were going to launch it as the first antibiotic toothpaste, but this microbiologist from Tufts University, I can't remember his name right now, brilliant guy, basically was sounding the alarm on the overuse of antibiotics and what a huge public health nightmare it's become.
Yeah.
So Colgate changed it to kill plaque 24 hours a day.
Right.
But in actuality, there are triclosan-resistant bacteria in the mouth now because of putting a chemical in the mouth to kill bacteria.
It just makes them
kill plaque,
stronger.
Kill. Yeah. It's time for doctors to get out of the pesticide business.
Yeah, definitely. You've had a pretty big year. It's been a milestone year for you. You just turned 60.
Yes.
And you have some very interesting launches coming up this summer. So I'd love to hear more about that.
60 is the new 30.
Oh, really? That's good.
I tell my wife that, and she's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now, it actually, very interesting. I was 59 last year, and I'm sitting with my daughter, Grace, and I'm in the car, and I was like, Grace, I'm going to do, I always plan like a big birthday for my wife did 30 and 40. I planned my 50th and I was planning my 60th. And I was like, I want to do something different. And I kept thinking, I got to do it in a Chinese restaurant. I didn't know why. I told our mutual friend Melody, and she's like, she actually came dressed up in Chinese garb and everything.
Of course she did, because she's so fabulous.
So my daughter's driving with me in the car, and I said, Grace, look up significance of age 60 in Chinese philosophy. And she's like, oh, Dad, really? And she Googles it. And all of a sudden I hear, oh, my God. Oh, my God. 60 is the most important year in a person's life in Chinese philosophy. And the reason that is 60 is considered the completion of one of two cycles of a person's life. So there's 12 Chinese astrological signs. Mm-hmm. I was born the year of the rooster. We keep busy all the time. Mm-hmm. Year of the dog, year of the dragon, year of the rat.
Year of the pig.
Year of the pig. Yep. Great. Oh, isn't that bountiful or something?
I don't know right now.
I know. I was like.
I don't want to say anything. I don't know.
Never mind.
No. I was going to say like maybe I have mercury poisoning. Because I can't remember what the hell I
you
just
can't
said.
Remember what that means.
No, I'm like running to the doctor tomorrow. He'd be like, Marnie, where are you? At the doctor, functional medicine. I ran to Gabrielle's house across the street.
So 60 years is 12 signs and the five elements. 5 times 12 is 60, right? So the five Chinese elements and the 12 signs. So the first cycle is considered the Yang cycle. You're younger, you're crazy, you're da, da, da. The yin cycle is the second 60. So 60 is the midpoint, which intuitively I felt. Mm-hmm. Like my wife's like, what do you think? You're going to live to 120?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, yeah. We're supposed to. We're supposed to live to 120.
We are.
If we just wise up and understand that our bodies are amazing and we have these ability to heal and to rejuvenate. We just got to know how and what to do. But there's so much crazy stuff that people don't know that can help them. And so podcasts like this can be very helpful. So, so 60 was so cool. I feel like there's this amazing cycle of life that I'm in that I've just started like a baby. Of mentoring and taking younger dentists into my office and training them and empowering them to be the next generation of healers. and mentoring people and and teaching and that, and also, you know, a little singing and everything else.
I mean, I don't want to go off track, but I do know that you are a very good singer and you have performed on stage with Billy Joel. Is that true?
Yes.
Because I think
Billy must be sick of hearing this.
No, but this is really cool because I kind of feel like
Billy,
I would love
listening
to sing with Madonna. So I understand.
No, that was it was kind of a funny story because I grew up, you know, you and I, we came from the Five Towns.
Yeah.
And growing up with Billy Joel, right? Thanks. Throw you under the bus.
While you're at it.
You came from the Five Towns. Oh my God.
So anyway. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to do this.
I thought Jerry. I was going to die. Anyway, Billy Joel was kind of like a childhood idol. And then he like comes to me as a patient.
Mm-hmm.
And we developed this friendship. So while he's in the chair, I'm singing, you know, like the summer wind came blowing in from the, and one day he stops and he goes, you know, Dr. Jerry, you got a good voice. You sound like a young Tony Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, a very young Tony Bennett. Like a 30-year-old Tony Bennett?
Yeah.
Well, maybe a little older.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's like, and then it got into this dare me about getting up and singing. And I was like, you know, next thing you know, I am at the Nashua Coliseum being introduced. And he stopped his set. It was just him alone then. And he said, I have a special guest. And like the Nashua Coliseum went crazy. I thought it was Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen, Madonna. And he was like, it's my dentist.
Yeah.
And everybody started laughing.
Yeah.
And then I went out there and I belted out a Sinatra tune.
You did?
And yeah.
Which one?
That's why the lady is a tramp. Anyway, I did the lady's a tramp, obviously.
Okay.
And I got a standing ovation. And Howard Stern was backstage. And I'm walking off stage.
He
looks
Stern.
At me.
He's like one
he
of the best.
He looks at me and he goes, hey, Dr. Jerry. You know, that was pretty good. And he goes, and Billy's teeth look marvelous.
That's so funny.
So it was really a trip. But the bigger trip was, that was November. He calls back to my office and said, I'm doing two shows in Las Vegas. And why don't you come out and sing like you did? You were great. Why don't you come out and do it? So I did two back-to-back shows at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And
so,
Clive Davis was at one of them, and he didn't believe I was a dentist.
That's so funny. I mean, you've done pretty much everything. What's next for you?
You know what? Honestly, the first 60 were a blast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really looking at way more charitable ventures.
Mm-hmm.
I've already met with an amazing, amazing doctor who's close in age to me. We're like a year and a half apart, and he's 50, turning 59.
Mm-hmm.
And he started an organization 23 years ago called Operation International, and where they do charitable surgeries around the world, Uganda, Bhutan, Tanzania. I mean, amazing. And I have an orphanage that I've supported and built a medical dental clinic in probably one of the most impoverished areas on earth, in Andhra Pradesh, India.
Mm-hmm.
And also charity begins close to home too. I mean, there's so many people hurting. I'm really hoping that the charitable end of what Revitin is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So for everyone there who subscribes to Revitin, we are building a major foundation to empower and support with grants for people to get affordable dentistry, good dentistry.
Right.
Because the problem is, when it's affordable, it's crap.
Right.
And their mouths are almost worse off than good dentistry.
Right.
You know, so it's like good dentistry gives a return on investment. So I really would love to do, there's organizations that do charitable stuff too, but I'm really, you know, I wake up and I think about, okay, what's the next charitable way that we can make the world a better place? So it really is, you know, I know it sounds trite, but, and millennials get this more, I think, than our generation.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials are very in touch. They hate phonies. That's why they were like hugely behind Bernie Sanders, because he was what he was. And
right. And your daughter's a millennial.
I guess I have three millennial kids.
I
have a 33-year-old. She's millennial, but also an old soul.
Yeah.
And I have a son who's very millennial and a younger daughter. And what I love about my kids is that they all love to give. And there's, you're really a success as a parent if you teach your child to give back. That in giving, giving is a spirit that is so powerful.
Yeah.
Probably apart from the charitable thing, in terms of what I'm going to be doing on a day-to-day basis for the immediate future, is a project called Rejuvenation Health.
Right.
And it's my first salvo into helping to bring dentistry back to medicine. So I don't think dentistry and medicine should be separate.
Right.
I really think they should be practiced together.
And that kind of harkens back to your whole philosophy on how dentists really need to be thinking beyond the gums or the roots and like go deeper into like what they're looking at when they look at someone's gums or teeth.
Yeah. Beyond the, what I like to say, the drill 'em, fill 'em, bill 'em.
Right. So tell me about Rejuvenation Health, because I think this is a really big deal.
Rejuvenation Health is an exciting, it's an exciting, it's the first time that the dentist took the lead in bringing a truly integrative environment where biologic dentistry meets biologic medicine and then biologic beauty and wellness. You know, that's an area, I think biologic beauty, you know, using PRF and regenerating and using lasers. We have a doctor who's joining us, Dr. Keith Durante. He has three CoolSculpt machines.
Right.
And CoolSculpt is a hot thing.
I love CoolSculpt.
I love the idea
of
melting fat without being invasive and lipoing and all this stuff. He showed me his own, you know,
like
the men get love handles.
Yeah, that's where they use it.
And I was like, oh my
God. And over here, like
Over there. Yeah. Like the little jowl thing and everything. Yeah, it's cool. But there's other stuff too that are biologically oriented and non-invasive. We're going to have an IV drip. IV drips are getting a big, it's a big, you know, it's like the juice bars now.
It's like the new Botox party.
It's the new juice bar. It's the new Juice Press and Juice Nation and Juice This. IV drip, we're going to have our own IV drips, but we have an MD supervised. The important thing and what people should know is that not all IV drips are the same. So a lot of it, you know, you could buy crappy vitamins. Like, you know, they do put crappy vitamins in IV drips because they're cheap or they just don't know better.
Right.
But we're doing strategic drips for detox, weight loss, athletic performance, and recovery from the summer soirees. I can't believe they put that line in there too, you know, summer soirees.
So you have Gabrielle Lyon,
yes,
a functional medicine
Gabrielle
practitioner.
Lyon is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So Gabrielle Lyon is a brilliant functional medicine doctor, physician. She trained under Dr. Mark Hyman, and she's from a strong pedigree of functional medicine background. And she also, very interestingly, she's one of the few physicians that's focusing on muscle health and that our muscles produce hormones and produce growth hormone and produce, actually help to maintain our hormonal balances in the body. And sarcopenia, which is when our muscles start to waste as we get older, you know, she's very strong on maintaining muscle fitness for the overall health of the body, which is not often talked about. You hear about gut and detox and brain and da-da-da, but muscle is equally important. So Gabrielle has also an advanced graduate degree after medical school for nutrition as well.
Yeah.
There's Dr. Stephen Levine, who's an amazing, brilliant doctor, brilliant medical doctor, who was hand-chosen to be the partner of Dr. Daniel Baker.
And he's a plastic surgeon.
Daniel Baker's probably the father of plastic surgery and the most prolific plastic surgeon alive. And so they've pioneered a lot of non-surgical approaches to beauty and wellness. Stephen is also brilliant in nutrition. He actually did the work on the anthrax vaccine, you know, around right after 9/11. Quite astonishing as an amazing young physician, medical doctor. And who else? I talked about Keith Durante.
You have Gabrielle. You have Stephen. And Live 120,
and my amazing friend Kim Chi Moya, Rezopathy. She'd be great to have on.
Yes, she would
so
be.
Kim Chi,
I like her. She's totally
Kim
fringe Chi out there.
Is it seems out there because it's so. She's been probably one of the most experienced healthcare practitioners in biologic medicine and bioregulatory. She spent 17 years in Germany pioneering techniques and approaches to reading the body like a detective. Mm-hmm. So she uses a technique called resopathy.com, reading the energetic resonance of the body to identify disease.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, because when you're from a Western head in training, that's like voodoo.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is voodoo.
But pretty soon, like
Reiki,
you know, like,
well, I mean, Reiki, like, it sounds a lot like Reiki in a way.
It does,
like it's like
does.
Energy.
But, I mean,
body
we use it around, I mean, nuclear magnetic resonance, you know, like NMR, MRI, CT scan. I mean, all of these technologies that we have now were like voodoo, you know, 50 years ago. So, medical technology is progressing and we're moving way, way faster into the world of energetic medicine.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to come out and try some of the fun services.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's
definitely
gonna be,
so the
we're,
IV
we're doing it as a pilot venture in East Hampton.
Right.
And so it's a beautiful center. We actually have a meditation garden and we have a holistic psychologist who's going to actually do meditation classes.
And this center is, it's not a new center for you. I mean, this is where you got your roots in dentistry. It was your first practice.
Wasn't my first.
It wasn't your first. Okay.
But it was my first in East Hampton.
Okay.
No, I had several dental offices, but I made a bold move in 1995 to attempt to relocate my professional practice to East Hampton. I had a practice in New York all the years, 1983 to 1995.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of did a little sabbatical. It's when I started doing the research on the oral microbiome.
Right.
I started doing research on Revitin even before the microbiome. And then built a practice out there and was on the board of trustees of the Ross School, which was a really cool, integrative, holistic educational philosophy.
Yeah.
They actually did yoga and meditation. And you know, the biggest thing about leaving New York and going to be a country dentist in East Hampton, I mean, it was like I'd wake up in the morning, the air was fresh and clean and there were birds chirping. Even when I moved not that long before 9/11, I was in East Hampton and New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then my younger sister is a general dentist and her husband is a dentist. And they ended up buying my New York practice at that time. And I went out to East Hampton full time shortly before 9/11. It was like a premonition.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
And because it was a horrible time to be in New York at that time.
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah, I mean, many of us were. But the reality is that having gone out there, it just, that was like rejuvenating in itself.
Yeah.
So I came back into New York in 2006 and built Rejuvenation Dentistry.
Okay. And now that's where, and now you're going back out to the Hamptons, but you're going to be
between the two.
And then you're bringing Rejuvenation Health back to the city in the fall, winter.
Yep. That's the plan. The plan is to get this model to work and be a prototype for being able to provide the highest caliber of holistic care.
And now, when do you have time to exercise? Because I know that you are a triathlete and you take classes at SoulCycle. And so when do you have time to work out?
Yes, I'm the first spin doctor.
I saw pictures on your I saw pictures on Instagram. So that's your Instagram.
No,
it's like Jerry
Curatola.
You know,
I love SoulCycle. I actually, all right, you want a true story?
Yeah, I want
so
to know
So I've been
story.
Spinning for years and years and years. I mean, like even before SoulCycle existed and everyone, the spin bike, when the Schwinn spin bike came out, there was a place in East Hampton that had a spin studio.
Marion?
And it was called Summer Kicks.
Oh, okay, no.
This
place.
Is before
okay.
Marion.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it was before Marion.
Yeah.
Because Marion opened her studio in East Hampton after this. Her name was Pat Grantham, and she had a place called Summer Kicks. She was actually an ex-Rockette, and it was like step classes. Remember the step classes
totally.
And all that?
Yeah.
And then she started spinning.
Uh-huh.
And she had spin teachers from Los Angeles come and teach spinning in the summer in East Hampton. So one
day,
where
it started.
One day, the spin teacher didn't show up, and I was always a cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
So I did triathlons, and I was always on a bicycle. And anyway, the spin teacher didn't show up, so I taught the class. They were going to let everybody go, and I was like, I'll teach. I took a Sade CD. And I was like, come on, get on my hill. Get on my hill, come on. Let's go downhill together. And this and that. And anyway, I did it, and everybody loved it.
So now you also
so
are
the next
instructor.
Week, I taught spin. 4 weeks in a row. I did it for a month. 4 Sundays in a row, I taught spinning.
Summer Kicks.
And she wanted to pay me. She's like, I'll pay you $40. I was like, it's okay. You don't have to pay me. true story is, we're at a local restaurant in East Hampton, and this woman comes in and with her husband and goes, Herman, this is Dr. Jerry. He's my spin teacher. And my wife is with me. The wife's like, no. He's a dentist. He's not a spin teacher.
That's
and I look
so
at my
awesome.
Wife and I was like, honey, actually, you know, and she's like, you're not teaching spinning, are you? I was like, actually, I have this alter ego, you know.
That's amazing. That's awesome. This was so great.
It was
fun,
right?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm having
really
such a
fun.
Good time to go
great.
Retrieve
Marnie
Elle.
On
thank
the move.
You so much.
Keep moving,
yeah.
Marnie.
We're doing it.
Moving.
Awesome. Thank you, Jerry.
My pleasure.
Thanks again for tuning in to Marnie on the Move. Head over to our website, MarnieOnTheMove.com, and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, and more. Also, sign up for our newsletter. Just scroll down to the bottom of the site, to the bottom of the website, and hit sign up, because we are gearing up for some really big, exciting announcements, deals, and giveaways. Thanks again for tuning in.